Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 78 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I talked to Ryan Cooper. He is at Barbecue Tourist. His website is barbecuetourist.com. You can find him on all the social media platforms that way. He's just a cool guy, and not often do I find someone as passionate about barbecue joints as I am. He might even exceed me simply because he gets a chance to visit all these places. He's putting together, he works for the National Park Service, and he's a cultural geographer, and he is putting together this massive project that I'll put links to in the comment section. And when I do a blog post, I'll put links to that as well, which is extremely ambitious and a huge guide for people that are interested in traveling around to barbecue joints and getting a chance to see them ahead of time and kind of get tips and what to order. It's visually wonderful. He's also working on a project that's coming out soon, a newsletter with NYC BBQ, Sean at NYC BBQ, which is called The Smoke Sheet, which I'll put a link to below too. You can get a chance to sign up for this newsletter. It'll be a great resource. It's from Ryan. You'll love this. He's so insightful. One of my favorite little stories that we talk about a lot of different barbecue joints across the United States, but is about Buxton Hall, and it's super detailed, and it'll make you want to hop on a plane to fly out to Buxton Hall immediately. Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time. I'll be checking in with him again and doing additional episodes because he continues to go to barbecue joints. He's putting those into his trips that he does for work. It's great for us. It's fantastic. If you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you can get all the back episodes. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com. But enjoy this. Well, good afternoon, Ryan. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing really well. So I'm catching you in between barbecue trips, right?
I'm always in between barbecue trips. Yeah.
I think that's the way that everyone should be, right? I think we all kind of are, I guess, in a way.
Yes.
Well, I'm fascinated. I wanted to talk to you about some projects that you have going on, but I also wanted to talk to you about all these trips. And I think what's important, I think, or what I really want to get across to people is kind of how to plan these trips out, or in that kind of like some insider tips from someone that's done these massive trips to like what you should look out for. What do you look ahead for? Like, are you looking, I know you're probably checking hours to make sure that you're there at the right times, but also just any kind of tips that you can have for people, because I know that people want to kind of mimic what you're doing.
Sure.
So how did you start out? What do you do? And how did you start out doing this?
I grew up in Kansas City, so barbecue's kind of always been in my blood, I guess. And I am a geographer. That's my background, cultural geography, actually. And I work for the National Park Service.
Nice.
And recently, it just kind of hit me like, wow, I could probably do something where I take my two big passions and kind of marry them. And so about 6 months ago, I started working on this project that was the story and a web map of Kansas City barbecue joints. And so I kind of did some research on the history of Kansas City barbecue, and I built this interactive what they call story map that tells the story, but it also includes the geography of Kansas City barbecue. And so I ended up mapping, I think, 103 barbecue joints that are currently open in Kansas City. And I'm constantly updating it. I get emails about how this place is closed and this new place is opened up. So it's kind of a ongoing thing. It's never done. And so I decided, hey, this is so much fun. Like, why don't I do this across the country? Like, why don't I explore the geography of barbecue in America? So I decided I'm going to do this. This is sort of I think it was John Shelton Reed that said, this is our version of, like French wine, where you go 100 miles down the road and everything's completely different. And so it just, it's really perfect for geography.
Oh, it's ideal. And that's great coming from John. It's like almost anything he says is it's doctrine.
It's awesome. Yeah.
Oh, that's such a great, and that's kind of in a way, not to jump to myself, but I'm doing these barbecue city guides is because I'm not doing it just for for fun. I'm kind of trying to create some sort of assistance for people when they are traveling. They can listen to it. Maybe when I get the podcast version, they can listen to it on the plane on the way in, and at least hear from a barbecue expert and someone like yourself, where to go and something that they wouldn't think. And if people are using Yelp mostly, it's kind of sad.
Yeah, Yelp, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to create the web maps and everything, because Yelp it's really a challenge. I mean, Yelp's good if you are in a place and you kind of just want to look and see what's available and everything, but it's not necessarily very easy to find, especially the best barbecue places I've found. And so, yeah, I think there are other resources for kind of planning your trips other than Yelp. So
there are, yeah. And I commend you for what you're doing. It's an amazing task too, that you'll have to keep updating, but it'll be fun. It'll be great. So where did you, you started with Kansas City.
Started with Kansas City, and I decided, okay, this was really fun. Let's see what else I can do. So the next place I went to and the next project I developed was for Texas.
Okay.
So I made a little web map. I actually did it for my own personal use. I created a Texas Monthly Top 50 web map so that I could use my mobile phone to navigate around Texas and find these places very easily. Daniel Vaughn had done something similar on the Texas Monthly website, but it was like a Google map. And so you had to have a good internet connection at the time. But this little app that I created was, helped me be able to help plan my trip while I was on the road. I could kind of say, well, this place is close and this place is kind of far off the beaten path and things like that.
And how long did you travel around Texas for? A week or two?
A week, yeah. And I mostly stuck in central Texas. I did go up to Fort Worth and went to a place up there, but yeah, mostly was hitting those classic central Texas joints that are legendary, and that was really fun. That was amazing, and it was really, that was really the point that I was like, wow, the barbecue in Texas is very different from Kansas City. I really felt like, wow, I'm in a new place. This is very foreign to me. It's somewhat familiar, but it's so different from Kansas City. I need to travel the country and see what all these different places are like. So
that's so great.
Texas
that's
really sealed it for me. Yeah.
And I think it sealed it for me too, because coming from California, we have such a hodgepodge here of barbecue. And when I went to, and someone actually shipped me Gates one time in an igloo cooler. And that, when I opened that up with friends, we're like, what the heck did we receive? We got white bread and slice. And it was just so strange. It was honestly like an alien had said of something. And then, and then going to Texas, I'm like, this is something. And going to Lockhart, like you said, so do you recommend, how would you recommend if you were sending someone off on a trip to Texas? I know Kansas City, you started off at let's go Texas here. I'm stuttering. I'm so excited. I love barbecue. So if you're sending someone off to Texas, how would you tell them to do it?
I would say Texas is a big state. Don't think you're going to hit all the 50 Texas Monthly 50 best spots in one trip. It's a big place. And so I found that out. I thought, oh, I'll just go all to all these places. No, I really needed to stick with central Texas and really stick actually, to the smaller towns outside of Austin, because Texas is huge. And also you spend a lot of time, not only driving to places, but actually waiting in line. Like I spent time. I literally, I wish I could tell you I have all the tips for planning these out great.
No, yeah, of
but
course
I literally thought I'm just gonna stop by Snow's Barbecue early in the morning, and then I'll be able to hit all these other places. Little did I know, I was gonna be standing in line for 4 hours waiting to taste the famous Snow's Barbecue. So And gosh, it was worth it. I mean, it was amazing. I'll never forget that experience. That was probably one of the best food experiences I've ever had in my life.
Hands down.
Yes, I mean, just phenomenal. So, but you know, going
But you,
in, I
like
had no
you said, you
idea.
have to plan around your day. Like that could eat
Right.
up half your day, or
Yeah,
a good chunk of it. Yeah.
it did eat half my day, and yeah, it was worth it, but therefore I didn't get to hit all the spots that I kind of wanted to, of course.
And when you went there, did was that I'm trying to think of if you took, so if you did you go to Snow's, was that your first spot in Texas?
No, my first spot was Louis Mueller in Taylor,
Taylor, yeah.
and that's the spot that I was like, this. I felt like I was in a foreign place. Like I thought I was in a movie set or something. Like
Or a
walking
time
in
warp or
there,
something.
yeah, it was just like wow. It was the atmosphere there was amazing. It was
And
just
having
really
those
great.
big fans up in the ceiling, like it just feels like it does feel like a cathedral, like they say.
And it was odd. I got there really, I mean, I got there at 11 and I got like the last parking spot already, you know, like the parking lot was full. I was standing in a line, kind of went in the doors and on the creaky wooden floors and everything. And it was
Yeah.
just, it was awesome. It was a really cool experience.
So I guess maybe the tip would be to kind of figure out what the line situation is for specific places, just kind of so you can kind of figure out you're probably gonna be able to maybe do two or three places in a day,
Yeah, yes,
or maybe a
definitely.
dinner, like go back to Friedman's in downtown. Like, I mean, you have to kind of plan like which places are open for dinner, so maybe you get his spot back.
Exactly. Trying to think of what else happened that was like that. I also encountered kind of the opposite, where there were places where there was a huge line. The other experience that was really unique in Texas
This is
was I
great.
went to Kreitz Market, and it was like in the middle of the afternoon. It was 3 o'clock, and I was literally the only car in the parking lot. And I got a great picture of my one,
Oh, that's
my
a
car, and then that huge building, which is so awesome and iconic. And it was kind of weird to be in there and like there's nobody else there. It's just me
It's a
and
huge space inside too.
yeah,
It's
it's so
massive.
huge to be empty.
Yeah,
And
it's
so
like an arena or something.
yeah, it's massive. And so I got some photos there. But not all of them turned out really great. So I wanted to come back the next day. I was like, I'll just come back and pop in and get some more pictures and get some more brisket. And showed up the next day and the line was just out the door. I would have been waiting for hours. So I ended up just, you know, only getting the first few photos from the first day and
Oh,
that's
that's
it.
uh. So I guess it's a kind of a hit or miss thing, because that's I want to jump to like the Carolinas, because when you travel to the Carolinas, like it's are there lines like you're seeing in Texas?
Trying to think, no, not like Texas
Yeah.
at all. Except with the exception of the first place I went to in North Carolina was Lexington Barbecue, another great, iconic, wonderful experience. And it was the same thing where I pulled into the parking lot. I got like the last space. All the license plates were from all over the country, and I was in a long line. Somehow I missed that the line was really to wait to be seated in the dining room, but if you're a solo traveler, you could just sit right at the bar. So
That's a good
there was
tip.
a bar stool empty. I sat right there, and the really great thing about that was the owner's son, Rick Monk, he kind of stands behind the bar and he's really talkative. So I was
Oh,
able to
that's
sit
great.
there and talk to him, and he explained all about North Carolina barbecue. He told me which places were similar to his, which were really different. He gave me suggestions on what to get. And most importantly, he kind of helped me navigate the terminology because I had no idea what a chopped coarse plate with outside brown and extra dip was. You know, it was like, what is this? You know,
And for people that don't know, what is that?
so a chopped coarse plate, according to him, was it's chopped a little less finely, so it's more a little bit more like a pulled pork consistency, I would guess, than some of the other places I tried. The outside brown is basically the bark that you would get on the shoulder,
Okay.
and then the dip is the barbecue sauce. So
Oh, That's cool. That sounds like kind of like the how you'd order like a Philly cheesesteak where they'd kick you in the back of the line kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was. But he was really nice and helpful.
But they're really nice in Carolina, as they would.
He actually walked up to me and said, "You look like you got some questions and some things on your mind." And I said, "Yeah, I want to know what is this?" And he really helped me with that. So that was great.
Did you have sweet tea?
I did. I after reading Holy Smoke by John Shelton Reed, I realized just to order sweet tea everywhere I could in North Carolina. So,
And the first time I had sweet, I used to go back there for business. The first time I had sweet tea, I thought it was the sweetest thing I've ever had. It was a lot sweeter than I have ever had here in California.
It actually kind of rattles my teeth or something. It even kind of does it just to talk about it. It's kind of
No, I know exactly what you're saying. So let's talk about your trip to, how did you set up your trip to North Carolina and what places did you go to? I mean, South Carolina too.
So North Carolina, that trip was originally I was kind of going to go to all the other places outside of Kansas City and Texas that were iconic for barbecue. Initially, I was going to go to Memphis and then cut over to North Carolina. Okay. However, I got connected with a guy based in Atlanta who named Jim Ockmoody, okay. And he helped design a history museum exhibit in the Atlanta History Center called Barbecue Nation.
That those photos that you show are awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
So I decided, wait, I'll do Memphis on its own. It's a big thing that I need to tackle later, and I'll go see that exhibit in Atlanta. So that's kind of what I did. I cut down through Missouri, Illinois, Tennessee, and then down into Georgia first before going to North Carolina.
So did you go to any spots in Georgia?
I did. I went to, let's see. So my spots in Georgia, the two I really, really wanted to visit were unfortunately closed because I was only there on a Monday. And a lot of the places I noticed in Georgia are closed on Monday. Okay. So Heirloom Market and Bee's Cracklin' were both closed that day. I ended up going to a place in a town outside of Atlanta called Roswell, and this place is called Grand Championship Barbecue. Mm-hmm. They had a little bit more, I would describe it as upscale barbecue. They described everything on their menu as kind of being small plates, and so I ended up getting a big beef rib served on polenta. I mean, it was very unusual for kind of what I was expecting for Southern barbecue.
That doesn't sound like Southern. Yeah, it sounds different. Really good, but doesn't sound like Southern. Yeah.
Yeah. It was very different. And then I ended up going to dinner with Jim at Das Barbecue in Atlanta. That reminded me of more of a Texas kind of place, actually, too. So, yeah, they had all the big brisket on the smoker out back and everything. So
it's interesting how all these things are kind of merging now.
Yeah, especially I've noticed that you can see the Texas influence in a lot of other places, which, you know, it's good. Texas is certainly great at barbecue. So
exactly. And it does, especially if it's a new location, it doesn't hurt to add something that's familiar to people, I'm sure.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
So where did you go from there? Or did you go back home and then, or did you?
No. This was all one big trip.
Wow, this is fascinating.
I did go to the Barbecue Nation exhibit. I want to just tell you about that
because it's
so neat. It was really amazing. I was expecting it just to be a little room with a couple of old grills or something, but it was this massive exhibit that talked all about the history and culture of barbecue in America and globally. It was really awesome. Oh, they touched all sorts of issues that – you know, like issues of race and gender equality and all these things, like very academic kind of topics. It wasn't just a nice feel good celebration of barbecue. It was a very in-depth kind of thing. And it was really cool.
So that way people can gain knowledge from it too.
It was fantastic. That was another place that I thought I'd just pop in and kind of see it and everything. And I ended up spending about 3 hours there, just like really studying each exhibit, and they had fantastic photos of places from all across the country. They had Texas places, Kansas City, Memphis. They had, of course, a lot for Georgia as well.
Is this something that's a permanent exhibit?
No, it is running for quite a while, though, several months. And I know that they're even having they're having events from time to time that are barbecue, you know, related there. The exhibit was so huge, they need to keep it for a long time. They had all sorts of really massive old signs from restaurants that are no longer in business mounted all over the place.
Cool.
Yeah. Very cool neon signs, and it was really neat. Very worth going if you're in Atlanta.
Okay, I'm gonna have to put. I'll put a link. This is gonna be full of links, and I'll put together a companion blog piece because wow, this is fast. This is great. I'm so jealous you got a chance to go there.
It was awesome.
That's cool. Okay, cool. So where do you go from there?
So from there, I ended up. You know, you kind of cross into South Carolina. I unfortunately didn't get to go to any places in South Carolina, so that I could focus on North Carolina. And so the first place I went to was actually Lexington see Lexington Barbecue and another spot called the Barbecue Center, which both were really good. Lexington Barbecue, like I said, was packed. It had tons of people. It was amazing. The food was really good. And I got to spend some time. I got to tour the pits with the pit master, Ricky, who was very nice and answered all my questions and everything like that. It looked like they had the capacity just to like feed the world. I mean,
feed the whole state.
Yeah, it was awesome.
And how long do you remember how long that it's been there? Is it like 70 years or 60 years?
I want to say 60 or 70 years. Yeah. It's been there a long time. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And apparently you have to stop there.
Yeah. Apparently, Wayne Monk, who started the place, he's still alive and he still shows up to work every day. And unfortunately, I didn't get to meet him. He wasn't there at the time that I was there. But Rick was saying, he'll show up no matter what. So that's really great.
It's in his blood. It keeps him alive, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's 84 or something like that. He's in his 80s and he still shows up every day, puts in some time.
That's really cool. And then Barbecue Center, what did you get? What do you recommend getting at Barbecue Center?
Barbecue Center was very interesting because it actually had had a car hop service and everything, which I didn't get, but people did, you know, they pulled up almost.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they had a car hop run out and take the barbecue out there and everything. I ended up getting chopped pork barbecue sandwich with slaw on top and hush puppies, and it was really good. You know, I actually didn't end up eating that until the next day because I had already gotten full at Lexington. So
that's also something too people don't understand. I remember when I had first gone to Texas and I was trying to do all the Lockhart places, and I had gone to some other places first, and I was taking like maybe tweeting about it, and I at one point I hit my limit, and I think I tweeted about that, and Daniel wrote me back and said like, kind of was mocking me, but then later on I found out that, you know, it's smart to travel with like groups, so that way you could, you know.
Yeah, I wish I had a big group so everybody could try stuff, but yeah, it's, you know, it's like you hit your limit for sure.
And you're like, it's like you're probably silly like me, you want to eat it all. It's so good.
Exactly.
I can't help myself if it's good.
So great, you can't not eat it. So.
So that was so I, then. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so I was kind of on a high after visiting Lexington and that barbecue tradition. I actually drove all the way to Aiden to go to the Skylight Inn. And I don't know if you saw, I'm not sure if I posted this online or not, but I got to Aiden and saw that iconic, you know, Capitol Dome and everything. And was crestfallen when there's a huge sign on the door that says sold out. And I was there a couple hours before close.
I don't think I saw that.
I driven three hours or so to get there. And you know, that was the one iconic spot I really had to hit. So I was like, okay, what do I do? So it's sold out. So I went down the road to Sam Jones Barbecue. I thought, okay, if Skylight Inn is closed or sold out, I can go to Sam Jones and get something kind of comparable. Yeah. So I ended up doing that.
And it was open, right?
It was open, yeah. And that place is massive. So it didn't look like that was an issue at all.
That's a lunch and dinner service, I think, right?
Yeah, definitely. So they had a huge capacity there. It was a massive place. Got to tour the pits there as well, which was very cool.
Was Sam there?
Sam wasn't there that day. But the next day I ended up I was so crestfallen. I was like, okay, I have to go to Skylight Inn. So the next day I got up earlier and went and got there before it had sold out. And Sam was actually at the Skylight that day. So.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's such a neat guy.
Yeah. So I did get to go to Skylight Inn and try their food. Was excellent. It was just really good.
Very simple.
Very different. Yeah, very simple. It was like I kind of got almost everything they sell on the menu because there were only a handful of items. And the pork was really, really good. The sauce was different between Skylight Inn and Sam Jones, which was also kind of unique.
Can you describe that?
What's the difference? The Skylight Inn sauce is really simple. It's just the vinegar, salt, pepper, and chili flakes. Sam Jones has a little more sweetness to it. So it was kind of nice to have the option to choose between the two.
That's really nice that you got a chance to try them within the same 2-day period.
Yeah.
That's cool.
The side dishes were the same between the two places. The coleslaw reminded me of my grandmother's coleslaw. It was just identical. and then that little cornbread piece that they give you is just perfect for making a little pork sandwich type thing. So yeah, it was awesome.
That's cool.
That was a fantastic experience all around. It was amazing. And the service and the people who worked at Skylight were so friendly and so willing to kind of like share their story and their pride for the history there and everything like that. That was really cool. At the time I was there, you know, kind of in the late afternoon because I had to drive all the way there. It was all local people eating in the restaurant. I was the only guy kind of standing up, taking photos of everything and asking questions and stuff.
They're like, that guy.
Yeah, the tourist, barbecue tourist guy. So they answered all my questions. That was really great.
That is awesome. That's so cool. Did you meet John Shelton Reed at any of those places, or was there a different place?
I met John Shelton Reed and we had lunch at Allen and Son in Chapel Hill. That was fantastic. I mean, the food was great. Got to talk to John and he just spread his barbecue wisdom and it was really, really wonderful. Great experience. And then John said, "Hey, I want you to come back and we'll meet Keith Allen back in the pit house." So he and I ended up going back there and gosh, it was cool to see those two kind of North Carolinians. I guess John's from Tennessee originally, but to see those two kind of talk barbecue was like, I just wanted to stand back and just watch. So I got a lot of photos there and some video and everything. And
did you get video of the two of them talking?
I did, although it's focused on Keith. He's showing his pit and he's showing his fire poker looks like a whale harpoon. I mean, it's this massive thing. He's a big kind of
imposing
guy. Yeah. And so he holds up this massive like iron rod type thing and talks a little bit about that. But it was really great just to see the two of them talk about barbecue. And gosh, Keith Allen really had a lot of great stuff to say. We got on the subject of modern barbecue and competition barbecue, and he was talking about how, you know, people today do all these kind of minute things to affect the flavor, and he keeps it really simple. He said that the things that really affect the flavor are going to be really high quality pork meat product and really good wood. And that's pretty much all he does. He puts the pork shoulder on his pit. He doesn't even put salt and pepper on them. And he uses good hickory and that's it. That's all the flavor that goes into his barbecue other than, you know, he has a little bit of sauce. But that was really neat to hear, you know, that he was going to keep it simple and make
such
sure
a
it's
purist.
High-quality. Yeah. It was neat.
Oh, that's what. So when they when he takes it off, does he hand chop it, or like do they chop it with like a little bit of vinegar, or how do they?
I don't know if he uses vinegar or not, but he hand chops it all himself. He had these two massive meat cleaver things that looked like a, you know, medieval weapon or something like that. He had two of them, and he had this mountain of pork piled up, and he said, "Come over here, I want you to try this, you know, straight off the pit kind of thing."
How was that?
It was just divine, you know. So he said, "Why don't you take a little piece of that outside brown, actually, but this little piece of pork that had the bark on it." And it was just like so packed full of flavor without even having any rub or sauce or anything on it. I'm not sure if he put vinegar on that or not. Know.
Sometimes they put like a sauce, like a sauce of some. Sometimes they do.
It doesn't sound like it needs to. Yeah, it just looked like a big mountain full of pork, but it was cool.
Oh, that's like the best ski resort. That's just so awesome. That's what a really cool experience. That's something.
Yeah.
I don't think I should recommend everybody call John, because he'll get angry. No. If like 1,000 people.
Although they'll learn a lot about barbecue, or at least John's, he thinks about barbecue, which is, you know, he has a lot of strong opinions and it's good. You know, he has a lot of knowledge about barbecue. So, but yeah, don't everybody call John and expect to go to Alan and Son with him. But it was
great experience. But I did a barbecue city guide with him, so they could check out his. He's a great to listen to. He could talk forever. He's amazing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He had a lot of great suggestions for me, actually. That he helped me plan my trip a little bit, although, as I said, a lot of the places that he recommended, you know, some of them weren't open on certain days. There was a place in Western North Carolina called Bridges Barbecue or something like that.
Yeah, you mentioned that to me too.
Very, very good. And it was, unfortunately, I think they're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays, so I wasn't able to go there.
Okay.
So
did you go? Did Buxton Hall, was that somewhere that you went to during that trip? Was that
It is. So after Chapel Hill and Aiden and all that, I did stop at one more spot in Greensboro, actually two Stamies? More spots. Stamies, yeah. Oh. So I went to Stamies. It was fantastic. It was pretty much identical to Lexington Barbecue. And as I was eating there, that place was packed full of people. There wasn't a line, but it was just completely packed. Some construction workers sat down next to me and kind of said that there were multiple locations, and the original location was a different place, and that they actually made the barbecue over there and brought it to that location. So I thought, oh gosh, I'm not at the original location. And I didn't realize that. I just typed Stamies in my phone and went there. So I decided I better go to the original as well. So I went there as well and got something to go.
Chip? Was Chip Stamey there? Or?
I don't think so. Yeah. I didn't see. That was packed as well. I was in a line at the original location, even to get the to-go order.
Wow. That's crazy.
But I got good a few pictures. Yeah, North Carolina, they know good barbecue. And
it's so, a staple. Yeah. It's like a staple meal. It's something that they eat.
Yeah.
It's not. And then that's one thing that I noticed when I drove around North Carolina. There's lots of barbecue spots, all like little ones that are dot the roadside. Mm-hmm. And who knows if they're good or not. But they're all over the place. Whereas in California, I got to drive to 10 miles to find one.
Yeah, yeah. So after going to both the Stamies locations, I drove to Asheville and stayed there. Asheville's a great town, of course.
Such a great city.
And then, Buxton Hall was definitely on the list of places to go. So in my excitement, I went straight to Buxton Hall. I think I checked into my hotel, threw my bags into the room, and went straight to Buxton Hall, only to find that they close in the middle part of the day. So I had shown up in the middle of the afternoon. So I think from 2 to 5 or 5:30, they close.
That's good to know.
Yeah. So I ended up thinking, well, I guess I could go back to the hotel or I could kind of check out Asheville. So I, you know, there were a lot of cool spots even right there on that block. And I noticed a lot of people were kind of waiting around at the donut shop and at the brewery and everything. And then once the doors opened at Buxton Hall, a line formed. Yeah. So even though I got there like 2 hours early, there was still a line by the time the doors opened.
So I don't know what's Elliot doing. I'm so excited to visit.
Oh my gosh. So I will just say Buxton Hall was one of the best, not only barbecue places I've ever been to. It was one of the best meals I've ever had. Everything was fantastic, from the decor and atmosphere there to the service to the food. Wow. I'm like spreading the gospel of Buxton Hall. And anybody that goes to Asheville, especially that likes barbecue, should go there, because the food was just unreal. It was really good.
Walk us through your dinner.
Yeah, I ended up getting a whole hog barbecue plate with potato salad and collard greens. But then you also have the option to add hash. Basically, it was the standout of the meal. I'm not 100% sure what hash is, but it was the standout item that I had there. It just was so full of flavor.
From what you could discern, what was it?
What's that?
From what you could discern, what was it?
So it sounds like hash was, it had the consistency of kind of like a chili.
Okay.
But it was probably all the parts of the hog that, you know, aren't necessarily going to make it into the chopped pork and things like that. All the little bits and pieces here and there. So it made it into this kind of thick hash that you actually kind of dip some rice in and eat it. And it was just so full of flavor. It was really fantastic. The pork was great. All the sides were great. The coolest thing about Buxton Hall to me, the atmosphere was wonderful and it's all open. They smoke the hogs right inside the building. It's not like a pit in the back or anything like that. And they have these ventilation systems that kind of, you know, keep it from being a smoky mess in there. But you can just walk up and watch them cook the whole hogs right there, you know, from your table even.
That's super cool.
Walked over there, of course, with my camera kind of timidly at the side and everything. And they were like, hey, you want to see something cool? Come back here. I actually ended up going back there with all the cooks and servers and they opened everything up. They had the whole hog on the pit. And then underneath the hog, catching the drippings, was this big pan of mussels in like a, it was like a wine broth type stuff. Catching all that flavor, it was amazing. It was very, very cool. They showed me the walk-in freezer and kind of described how they do everything and said it was 100% with wood. They didn't use any electricity or gas to cook the hogs, and it's right there for you to see. It was really cool.
That's ideal. I want to go next week. Oh, that is.
Yeah, it was fantastic. The atmosphere and decor was very cool too. I mean, it was just cool.
That's awesome.
The other neat thing about Buxton Hall for barbecue people is they had a little sauce station where they had Eastern Carolina, you know, very vinegar-based sauces. They had the more Piedmont sauces that had a little tomato in there. They had some hot sauces, and they even had some South Carolina mustard-based sauces there. So whatever you kind of wanted, you could get. It looked like it was all, you know, made right there. I ended up buying several bottles. They have lots of really neat stuff for sale. You know, they had all sorts of sauces, shirts, hats, bumper stickers, all sorts of neat stuff. I ended up, you know, just really going crazy there because it was such a great experience.
I want to go. Yeah, that's
crazy. Other thing I'll say, just like, you know, the food's so exquisite. And then at the end, you know, my server asked if I wanted any dessert. I was, of course, extremely full, but I thought, okay, I'll go get something. And so they had it was a banana pudding pie. And so it was actually banana pudding, but it had homemade like vanilla wafer type crust and then all that kind of thing in there. Oh man, it was just unreal. So I was really stuffed by it by the time I got out of there. But yeah, the dessert was just as good as everything that came before. So if you go to Buxton Hall, make sure you save a little bit of room for that dessert as well, because it's well worth it. It was really fantastic.
So that should be on everyone's radar, that restaurant, for sure. Yeah. Without a doubt.
Anybody that goes to North Carolina should go there, you know, even though it's not a classic old place, it's a new place, but it should be on everybody's radar.
Well, it sounds like, and they're doing it the old school way, but just in a new school format.
Right, exactly. Wow. Unlike other places where you kind of have to ask to see the pits and everything, at Buxton Hall, it's just right there for you to see. So you know, it's really neat to have that experience to see how whole hogs are cooked and everything. Because I certainly had never seen anything like that in Kansas City.
Well, then that's an experience unmatched. I don't think anybody can see that. Like, just on a casual basis, like walk up and see that at a restaurant. That's amazing. That's really cool. Exactly. It's like Disneyland for us.
So in the future, I'm going to continue with the mapping projects for the geography of American barbecue. I'm going to move on to other regions. I discussed with John Shelton Reed about the next project being North Carolina. Actually, focusing on some of those, you know, big places in the standard old, you know, places in North Carolina to make sure that those get mapped. So, yeah, that's what's next. And I also signed on to do a project in Georgia.
Okay.
There are a couple of history professors down in Georgia at Georgia College and State University. Their website's called Georgia Barbecue Trails, GeorgiaBBQTrails.com.
Okay.
So we're going to do the same thing for the state of Georgia.
That's so cool.
Map places. The cool thing about that site, it'll be, you know, some of the differences and things like that. But it won't have any reviews or anything, I don't think. It's just kind of like, here's where you can experience Georgia barbecue. I want to use that site myself. So,
so do I.
To travel the trails in Georgia. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and I think that's important too. I think that, like, you know, everyone can review something, but I think that if you show it in the right context, you can make your own opinion and make a choice if you want to go. And then also, it's important to go to some places that maybe turn out to be not as great, just so you can kind of have a barometer.
Sure.
Yeah, so you can kind of.
Yeah, I actually experienced some of those places too. I'm not going to name names, but definitely, you know, there were a couple of places on my journey in other states and things that you know, weren't as good necessarily. So yeah, you have to have those bad experiences to make those great experiences that much better. Mm-hmm. So,
and also too, imagine what it takes to have a good, to give people a good experience day in and day out. Like, it's just, I'm amazed, like places like Franklin or places like Buxton Hall or places like Skylight. Like, imagine what you have to do to make that work.
Yeah. And to make it work for, you know, 60, 70 years, it's just amazing.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah. Yeah, one other spot that I didn't mention, it was kind of off the, you know, the Georgia path and North Carolina, but it was in Illinois. It was 17th Street Barbecue.
Had a fantastic experience
there as well. So, yeah, on the way down, I actually went to 17th Street in Murfreesboro. Everything on the menu was great. The atmosphere was amazing. The service was wonderful.
Did you get to meet Amy Mills or Mike Mills? Or?
Unfortunately, I did not. I didn't get to meet them, but it was so good that I decided on my drive all the way back to Omaha, decided, okay, I'll stop at that other, at the second location in Marion, as good as the Murfreesboro location. So, I mean, it was just a fantastic experience.
And what did you get when you went to 17th Street?
I got an appetizer, which was out of this world, probably the best barbecue appetizer I've ever had. It was a smoked pimento cheese and beef sausage appetizer that you eat with on crackers. It was just out of this world. And then the first time I went there, I got, like, you know, the famous ribs, the pulled pork and brisket, all were really great. And then the second time I got a sandwich, which is the 1/7 slice of heaven. And it's a sliced pork sandwich drizzled with their barbecue sauce. It was just phenomenal. It was really good.
Their sauce and their magic dust, so, like they're so they know what they're doing. They just do.
Yeah, they there's a reason why they're champions. I mean, they really know what they're doing there.
Ah, that's great too. So how far away was that from you said you were going back to Omaha? How far away was that from?
That was a good 10 hours from Omaha, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's something I want to visit there so badly. I've talked to them a number of times. I just haven't had a chance to go.
Yeah, that was a great experience.
Well, thank you for remembering that. That's great.
Yeah. I really wanted to give them a shout out because that was such a neat place. So.
Oh, that's really cool. And are both locations pretty large location?
The Murfreesboro, the original location, is fairly small. The Marion location is giant. It looked huge. And, you know, everybody was having their graduation parties and things like that at that location. So it was packed. I mean, it was, but at the Murfreesboro location, there were lots of guys like me that were there on a barbecue odyssey.
Of course.
There were tourists taking photos and everything. It was really neat. At one point they brought in a whole hog, just kind of, they came through the front door with this magical whole hog, and every table, everybody jumped up and started snapping photos. And the staff actually said, "Hey guys, they're going to dress that hog up. They're going to make it look really pretty. You don't have to take photos as it's, you know, walking by."
Oh, that's
kind of funny.
I'm assuming that's the location where they give the classes and they have the functions and stuff. I'm sure.
Yeah. It's actually at a different building, just on the same street. They have a building where they have the famous Praise the Lord lights and everything like that. It's cool. Right next door. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I don't even, it's like, that's talking to someone like you and just talking barbecue in general makes you realize how much, like how many places you want to visit. And it's just, I guess you can't just assume that you're going to hit them all at once. You just have to kind of make trips, little trips.
Exactly. That's what I'll be doing, you know.
That's good. So
for the rest of my life, I'm guessing.
so to tie it up just for this episode, because we'll have another episode, is that, you know, just follow along you. You're at Barbecue Tourist, right?
Yeah, so I'm at Barbecue Tourist on Instagram and Facebook. I will be developing a website, barbecuetourist.com, as well.
Cool.
And that's where I'll share these maps and all the information.
And people, if you follow my feeds, I'll be sharing all of your stuff and liking it. I'm super excited. I'm glad that you're doing this. I feel it's important, and this barbecue world, especially now, I think it's an amazing world that we're living in. We have an opportunity to be able to try all this amazing barbecue across the United States, and maybe people are just in love with Texas barbecue, but there's a world out there. There's a huge world out there. Or they're in love with Carolina barbecue. They should go to Kansas City, Memphis, Nashville, Texas. It's travel.
Yeah, definitely.
So you're helping people travel. Definitely. You're helping the travel industry.
Yeah, and. You know, the people are the best part of it. The food's wonderful. The places are great, but the people are amazing.
Incredible.
I met the most amazing people standing in line, or, you know, the pit masters who are making this great food, the servers. And people who, like you, who are, met some great writers, and, you know, John and Jim. And next trip, I'm going to be meeting with Daniel Vaughn. So,
nice.
I mean, really wonderful people. Jill Silva in Kansas City is another one.
She is just a really wonderful human. Yeah, like these, and these are all great
all
people.
These.
Yeah, gosh, yeah. It's like, and like, it, what's, it's actually kind of funny because when I reach out to these people to talk to them, I am a fan of theirs. Like, I can't, like, and then by the end, we're friends, and I'm like, this is the strangest thing that's ever happened in my life.
It's weird to like read someone's book and be a fan and then meet them and yeah.
And then, like, how he wanted taking the back with
very odd. That's
Keith Allen. That's just so random and awesome and killer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's great. Yeah. You know, barbecue does this. It brings everybody together, so it's really wonderful.
Yeah, it's barbecue's love. It's life. It's such a yeah. It's phenomenal. And
Yep.
thank you so much for taking the time. And I'm so glad I got a chance to meet you personally here. And I hope that one of our adventures is meeting up somewhere. And that would be great. I would
Sure.
love to. Yeah. Or once I'll follow along and I'll
That sounds good.
try to once if I'm going anywhere I'll reach out ahead of time and see if you're going that same place. I would love to meet up.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'd
Excellent.
be happy to do that.